This is Daylight Magazine, coming to you from Adventist World Radio Ghana, the voice of hope.
AWR Ghana, voice of hope. Voice of
hope. Today's Daylight Magazine has segment designed with you in mind. Stay tuned and be blessed.
Do not be afraid, for I am with you.
I am with you.
Do not be afraid, declares the Lord. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. And will rescue you forevermore.
Moses led his men to the promised land. Scared if it be a fight, so they sent some men to see if they would win, if they were to challenge the Canaanites. 10 of the men were afraid of that land, thinking they would be better off dead. Caleb and Joshua had different thoughts, and this is what they said. They said,
do not be afraid, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, declares the Lord.
Oh, yeah.
Do not be afraid, for I am with you. And will rescue you forevermore.
Jeremiah implored himself before the Lord. God had told him that he was set apart. He would be God's hand, a prophet to the land. He should do all that the Lord commanded.
Jeremiah said, I'm only a boy, and I don't even know the right words. The Lord reached down and touched his mouth. This is what he heard. Do not be afraid, for I am with you.
I am with you.
Do not be afraid, declares the Lord.
Oh, yeah.
Do not be afraid, for I am with you. And will rescue you forevermore.
I can't see.
I can't see far ahead of me. George, don't climb by me. Take courage, and you will see. Give it to God, He will rescue you.
Do not be afraid, for I am with you.
I am with you.
Do not be afraid, declares the Lord.
The Lord Himself shall say, well done to those who have done well. The Lord Himself shall welcome those who have well served others. The Lord shall share His throne with those who have lost their throne for Him. The Lord Himself shall glorify those who have glorified Him in this life. The Lord shall open heaven's gate for those who have opened their heart's gate. The Lord shall dine with those who have opened their hearts and dined with Him. The Lord shall mention the names of those who have mentioned His name. And the Lord shall finally save those who through them others were saved. Written by Ebenezer Quay.
Lord, let your light Hello, listener. You are about to listen to a discussion on the topic I. This is the second part of the discussion I.
The conjunctiva. Someone will be asking that, where is it? It's the red part when you bring your eye down.
Mm-hmm.
That line, when normally you go to the hospital and the doctor is trying to check whether you are anemic or you have enough blood. They just put their finger
inside.
But it's also at the upper parts too.
Okay.
So that is the conjunctiva. And what it does is it protects the eye from the external environment.
Mm-hmm.
So you see, when you press it down there, it is. But when you leave it and you are coming down, your cheeks, that is the external environment.
Okay.
So that's one of its purpose.
That's conjunctiva. What?
Yes, conjunctiva or conjunctiva. So that side.
Mm-hmm.
And I quite remember when we were children, those who were
older than
us, if they want to scare us, they just bring the upper part. So scare you then. Running away. So that part is also the upper part of the conjunctiva.
Okay.
And we talk about the sclera.
Okay.
The white part of our eye.
Okay.
It's the sclera. I mean, we have the black portion, but with some people, it's brown. And when you take those at the west, some people have green, blue. Yes. So that white portion
is the cat's own is green.
Yes, exactly. And it's bright when it's in the dark. That's a cat. You can even if you don't see the body of the cat, you can see it.
So you are saying the white part
is the sclera.
That's where if somebody is jaundiced, you see the
it becomes yellow.
Yeah. Okay.
And
the black or brown part is?
Is the iris.
Iris.
But before you go to the iris is covered with the cornea.
Okay.
So let's see what the sclera does and we'll proceed. It gives the eye its shape.
Okay.
The shape of the eye normally depends on the sclera. That's the parts we can see. And now on the iris, just as you said, the colored parts of the eye, and where the iris, that's the black, and where the conjunctiva, just as we said, where they meet. If you are sitting down like in a resting state, you will see that the conjunctiva, the lower conjunctiva, comes together with the black portion of the eye, and that junction is called the limbus. That's just by the way.
Okay. The limbus.
Yes.
The point at which the conjunctiva meets with the iris.
Yes.
Okay.
Or because the iris is covered with the cornea. So let's say it meets with the cornea directly.
Okay.
We call it the limbus.
Limbus.
Yeah.
Okay.
And as we go from the iris, we go to the pupil. Now let's see. When
did you say people? Like,
no, people. People.
People. Ah,
yes.
Okay. Like basic school people.
Yes. And it's in the iris. It's a smaller portion. It's also black.
Like the dots.
Like inside. Exactly.
Like the dots, on the eye.
And those people, although it's small, it has a very, very, very important function. Last time you said something, you said small things perform great functions. And I've come to realize it's true. For us to see, it all depends on the people. Whatever you see, it's covered through it. It's actually a hole, like a hole that goes straight. It goes deep.
So that which we see as a dot is actually a hole.
It's covered. Yes, it's
with
covered.
A layer. So that nothing can enter that hole.
Exactly.
Okay.
So that is the pupil. And what it does, it dilates and it constricts.
Okay.
Like it closes and it opens.
For what time does it open, and at what time does it has it got anything to do with the sun or
got a lot to do with the sun or light.
Okay.
Yeah, that is when you are in darkness and you can't see. what do you think will happen?
You open your eyes wider.
You open your eyes wider, so it also gets wider, so that you'll be able to see.
Okay.
But when there is too much light, it
shrinks.
Exactly. Okay. So that's what it does.
Okay. I feel like I'm in a classroom.
So,
that is it.
Okay, so to continue from where she ended, from the pupil, it means we are now going to the deeper part of the eye. Okay, so from the pupil, we look at the lens, the eye lens, and then we are saying that the lens is a transparent biconvex avascular structure.
You are worse. Bring it down, bring it down.
Only okay. Today you came and looked at mad fool.
Wednesday you are giving. Okay, let's listen. I believe you will take your time and use simple terms for us to understand. Yes. Okay.
Okay, so when we say something is transparent, it means we can see through. And then the avascular, they don't have blood vessels.
Okay.
Okay, and then the sheep, which is biconvex. Okay, so the lens thickens and flattens to help us focus this focus objects onto the retina. Okay, so when we look at objects, when they are, depending on the distance of the object, the lens thickens or flattens to bring the object closer to be able to focus it onto the retina. So, that we can...
so it zooms in and zooms out.
Yes.
Okay.
So just be... like the camera when you are taking a picture.
Yes.
So that we'll be able to see the object very well. Okay. When we move from the lens, okay, before the lens, you have the aqueous humor. Aqueous humor. It's a fluid.
I heard the queer something. Okay.
So
aqueous
humor. Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. Okay.
So that's a fluid that because the lens is avascular, it needs to get food from somewhere to be able to live.
Okay.
So this aqueous humor has nutrients which it gives to the lens to be able to survive.
Okay.
But then the aqueous humor doesn't give nutrients to only the lens. It gives nutrients to the central cornea. The central cornea is also avascular. So the aqueous humor is there to give nutrients to the lens and also to the central cornea. Okay, so when we move from the aqueous humor, we go into the eye where we have the vitreous.
I thought we are still inside the eye.
Yes, but we are going, we are going deeper.
Oh, okay. Into the orbit. To hit the bone.
Yes.
Okay.
We are going deeper.
Okay.
Okay, so after the lens, we have the vitreous humor. Okay.
I'm coming. We have the aqueous humor. And then vitreous humor. Okay.
Yes. Okay, so what the vitreous humor does is that the vitreous humor helps to maintain the shape of the eye. It helps so that the eye won't become losing.
Or just like squishing a squishy ball. If the fluid is not there, it will just be it's flat true. Like what can I use to describe?
Like a balloon.
Yes, like when you blow, you blow, and even you pour water into the balloon.
It get the shape.
Yes.
As soon as you drain the water.
Yeah.
It will flatten.
You just listened to the second part of the discussion. A continuation will be brought to you later.
For any inquiries or contributions, you can contact us on +233 244 673528 or 0244 235 017 or email us at radio@vvu.edu.gh or through the postal address Adventist World Radio Ghana, P.O. Box AF 595, Adenta, Greater Accra Region, Ghana. We will expect your feedback.
At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day, all the day. But drops of grief can never repay the debt of love I owe. Dear Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do.
He's waiting and watching, watching for you.
You are welcome to the moment of truth. I am your humble servant, Daniel Abbey. The sermon is entitled Learning and Unlearning. Learning and Unlearning. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for a moment like this. As we read your holy word, come and honor yourself in your word. Amen. The scripture text today is taken from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24. Moses, whom God has chosen to lead his people out of Egyptian bondage, had much to learn and much to unlearn before he could be ready for the task. Plucked from the Nile by Pharaoh's daughter, he grew up in the royal courts, learned in the wisdom of the age, and trained for battle. He seemed to have all the characteristics desired for a mighty king of Egypt. But the very preparation that qualified him to lead Egypt disqualified him from leading Israel. One day, Moses reached a critical decision. He would throw in his lot with the people of God. He chose a band of slaves over the throne of Egypt. He would be their leader, a noble, even a breathtaking decision. But Moses had much to learn and much to unlearn. Seeing an Egyptian ill-treating an Israelite, he took matters into his own hands. He killed the Egyptian and buried the body in the sand. But the matter became unknown, and very soon Moses was fleeing for his life from the wrath of Pharaoh. He fled to Midian. In Genesis chapter 25, we saw that Midian was a son of Abraham. When Sarah died, Abraham married a woman called Keturah, and they had five sons. One of them was Midian. And so when Moses fled to Midian, it means that he still gotten back into a family of Abraham. He was 40 years, and his life had collapsed around him. You could feel someone who's lived a life in Pharaoh's palace for 40 years. He's been given all the wonderful treats, taken care by good doctors, loved by people, had the leadership training of his life, and he could have even become a Pharaoh of Egypt. But upon choosing what he has chosen to be, refused to be called Pharaoh's daughter, son, but chose to suffer affliction with God's children. He gave up plans of leading the Israelites when he joined up with Jethro. A philosopher became a shepherd, but God had a plan. In the solitude of the desert, Moses would learn new lessons: to reply to God and to rely on God, to live simply and to deny himself, to keep calm regardless of the circumstances. Further, Moses had been learning much that he must unlearn: the influences that had surrounded him in Egypt all had left deep impressions upon his developing mind and had molded to some extent his habits and character. Time, change of surroundings, and communion with God could remove these impressions. That's Patriarchs and Prophets, page 248. No two lives are alike. God must work with us individually as he seeks to prepare us for the task he sees for us. And that means unlearning as well as learning. Sometimes I hear young people who were brought up in Christian homes lamenting their lack of experience of the pleasures of the world. They suggest that people who come to Christ later in life have an advantage because of the worldly life they lived, because of the kind of experience they have had outside. But I said, that is not the right way. Not so. The longer we wait to accept Jesus, the more there is to unlearn. When you take up a habit, that is very bad, and it takes absolute control of your life. When you come to Christ, you have to unlearn all those habits, and it takes time. Sometimes there are deep falls that if you don't take care, it will take you back into that life again. Snatches of worldly songs, impure jokes, and bad habits cling to the mind like cobwebs. Only communion with God can remove them. And that means you have to unlearn the bad habits and to learn the habits that Jesus gives. If you will stand like Moses did, learning the good things that he was taught by his in-law, and on learning all the evil habits that he took in Egypt, he was a model that God used to prepare for the leadership of his children. How much better to give Jesus our whole life? How much better to suffer in affliction for a moment of time and to make a choice to give all to Jesus? Let us unlearn our bad habits and take up the cross and follow the Master wherever he goes. Let us unlearn our evil thoughts and learn the word that God gave. The psalmist said, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light upon my path." Let us try to have his word in our hearts and forsake all the evil things that this world is giving us. With that, we can be overcomers. We can also, like Moses, unlearn the evil things and learn the good things that Christ offers us today. Amen.
Thank you very much for staying with us. Once again, you can reach us on
+233-244-673528
or 0244-235-017 or email us at radio@vvu.edu.gh or through the postal address Adventist World Radio Ghana, P.O. Box A5595, Adenta, Greater Accra Region, Ghana. We will expect your feedback.
AWR Ghana, Voice of Hope.
I believe today's magazine has been a blessing. May the good Lord's hand be in your life. Amen. Remember to tune in same time tomorrow. Bye for now.